Oh, geez. You're the Harry Potter Malk.
I would Malk off against anyone when it came to Harry Potter, I reckon.
Interesting challenge. Perhaps for a Patreon-only episode, we could bring in our first guest, and I could concoct a Harry Potter trivia game.
I love it.
Rankers. If you know shit about Harry Potter,
you don't.
Get in touch. Hello at top5faceoff.co.uk and you can take Hurst on in an exciting prize-filled game of Who Knows Most Potters or something. We'll workshop the title.
Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we're going to be ranking the top 5 ABBA songs.
Coming right up after this.
If there's more than one, then there's a best and a worst. If there's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the Top 5 Face-Off. Actual fact. It's the Top 5.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back. And if you're new to the show, welcome.
Hello.
Squirrel, for all our new rankers, why don't you tell them what we do here and why we do it?
Yeah, I've been questioning that myself this episode. This is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything, as you heard in the song by Robo Katy Perry. What happens here is our Patreons suggest random topics, and we pick one for each episode, and we choose the top 5 and the worst things from that topic. And then you, the rankers at home, or at work, or in your car, wherever you are, we don't care. You can go to the website, top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote to say which one of us is correct, because one of us is always correct.
Note, pull over before you vote.
Ah, fuck it, do it, you'll be fine. And the winner goes on to be the official world ranking.
Good stuff.
Yep.
But we never get straight to the point because we're British. So how's the weather been?
Bit of foreplay. ABBA has affected, ABBA's horniness has affected me, Hurst, I think, for this episode. Stand by, rankers.
Uh-oh.
How's the weather been? It was dry enough for me to cut my lawn at some point over the past couple of weeks since we last recorded our episode.
Legitimate hints of spring.
I guess so. And now, of course, the grass is growing like a bastard. So I will need to cut my lawn again, but it's been raining too much recently. So there you are. There's the Bedford weather report.
Yeah, I got in the garden this week for the first time on Wednesday. My mum came over to do some gardening, which was nice.
3 days later.
I'm pumped about doing my first cut of the grass as soon as we can get some consistent, not raining days. You can cut most of that out because I realise that's a dead boring story straight off the bat.
Has anything made you feel old since the last episode has rolled around, Hurst?
Yeah, so much stuff. So much stuff has made me feel old. Thinking about things you remember from your adult life and realizing they were 30 years ago. Remembering watching movies for the first time and then realizing that they were much longer ago than you thought, like Terminator 2, which came out 35 years ago. Forrest Gump came out 32 years ago. And that's always good for the feeling older. But also, most importantly, realizing that 13 years ago is now a relatively recent part of your life. And also the same difference between when you started school and finished sixth form. But that 13 years, that just doesn't feel like anything anymore. I met Carly 13 years ago. Feels like yesterday. School felt like forever.
Well, now I feel old as well. That's great.
So yeah, plenty's been making me feel old. I should have maybe saved some of those for future episodes, but every time we come together, it's like that.
Just an old fest. Great.
What's been making you feel old?
Yeah, what's making me feel old is that yesterday I went to my friend's birthday party, and that is now the third of my friend's 50th birthday parties that I have attended, because that's how old my friends are now, it would be.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Sarah. Thanks for listening.
Well, happy birthday, Sarah. My friend House also had his 50th last week. He listens, so happy birthday, House.
Happy birthday, House. Don't forget to vote, both of you.
Do you want to know what's been going on? I've watched some movies that you're going
to
like.
You've had time to watch movies? I've done nothing to listen but shit music.
Yeah, I mean, after a day in the studio listening to ABBA, I needed to get some Statham on. I watched a film called Homefront. I don't know if you've watched that, but it is Statham-iest film ever.
Presumably it's the same as all the others, right? Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, cut and paste, but it's, yeah, if you haven't seen it and you want to watch a new Statham.
All right. He must be getting on as well, right? He's nearly 60. Fucking hell, he's 58 years old.
He still nails, though. That's the thing. He's nails as nails,
I was going to say. He's hard as nails.
Yeah, nails as fuck.
Nails as fuck.
Also, have you seen War Machine? Alan Richardson's new thing that's out on Netflix?
Oh, no, I haven't then, if it's new.
It's basically Predator if Megatron and Ed 209 had a baby.
Oh.
And Alan Richardson is Arnie. So it's great. You should definitely watch that. You'll enjoy it.
I should. So Reacher punches robots.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry, Thad Castle punches robots.
Thad Castle punches robots in the vent with some pebbles.
In the vent? All right.
Yeah, cool. Punches them right in the vent. So that's good. Oh, and of course, you know, the other thing that happened that I was going to mention on it was, remember Ranka Katie spreading the word?
Ah, yes.
I sent you that screenshot. And she's got us a new listener. Well done, Ranka Katie.
Well done, Ranka Katie. Do you want to read out what it said? Because it was brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, I will do, because it was a funny one.
I'm assuming it's her dad or something, or her brother, maybe. I'm assuming a guy.
I think, brother. I mean, it's on the family chat. Oh, Richard. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Richard.
He said, I've dipped into top five face-off. They've won me over already. One of them was talking about when companies supply things with flathead screws for self-assembly. The other man, without pause, dropped straight in, oh, fuck off. If there was a top five face-off for screw types, flatheads would not win. I approve. Excellent stuff. And I like the fact that we're both called Matt and we're still the other guy. Matt. Basically, say Matt and you're fine, although we are more typically Squirrel and Hurst, aren't we?
We are Squirrel and Hurst. That is one of our first episodes. Well, I guess they were listening from the beginning, but I'm pretty sure that may well have been Cartoon Villains. That was early, early, vintage top five face-off.
Well, speaking of which, happy anniversary, bud.
Oh, happy anniversary.
26th of February was when Cartoon Villains came out. Yes,
that is true. So we've been doing this shit for more than a year now, officially.
Yeah. Wow. We haven't got any better.
No, we haven't. You're welcome, Rankers.
Yeah.
We just take longer.
Indeed. Yeah. Thanks, Ranka Katie. Patreon Katie. Mm. And welcome to the show, Richard, however you are related to Katie.
Yes, indeed. Right. Is it time to crack on with what happened last week?
We need to talk about what's been gripping our shit. We'll
carry on this 15 minutes so far conversation of what's been gripping your shit.
Yeah, I do. Because there's been plenty, and a lot of it is ABBA-related, although I'm going to quickly put in another thing that's been gripping our shit. It's Potholes Part 2, The Fuckening.
Oh, God.
Had to get that alloy straightened, so back into the place, because we were driving down south and the tyre just went, and so he had to turn around and come back up, fortunately.
This was after it had been repaired, or was that when it happened?
The alloy hadn't been repaired, but the tyre was okay, and we thought, it'd been fine for a couple of weeks, and then the alloy went, fuck you! We were on the A1 heading down to see Michael and Rachel, and then we had to turn around. But they then packed spontaneously and came up to see us. It was all joyful in the end, but fuck you, potholes. And then also, of course, finding out 2 hours before recording that the 2021 album Voyage by ABBA is not a best of cash grab, but a whole other album that I haven't listened to yet. Isn't it enough that I've trudged through 8 albums of tedious Europop? They have to bring out another one. But I messaged my friend who's listened to an awful lot of ABBA and said, is it worth listening to that one? Is anything going to make my top five? And he said, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, one of them might make it worst.
But, yes.
We're not too worried about worst. It's a bit like arguing over the worst pothole.
The worst mass murderer.
Yeah.
I remember last episode, Hurst, you saying that, you were looking forward to this. You quite like ABBA. I fucking contend that anyone that quite likes ABBA, if they listen to all of ABBA, will no longer like fucking ABBA.
Well, the thing is, Skrill, ABBA's like licorice. You think you like it because of licorice all sorts, but then someone makes you eat 9 bags of it and you realise that actually you can't stand licorice. And then also your wife is traumatised because she accidentally ate a bunch of licorice too. So thanks very much.
See, my wife, in this metaphor, loves the licorice. And I don't think she heard me listening to any of them. So sorry, Harriet. I started off not really liking ABBA. Haven't for a long, long time. My opinion on this has not been altered, Hurst.
I thought I did, but it was an illusion.
But let's forget about ABBA for just a second and start talking about some adverts, Hurst.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what happened last week. Who was right?
Something did happen last week, Hurst, and you will realise why as we come into it. Two things that I think are rare have happened. So, back in with the first comment with absolutely no explanation of her absence last time out is Meg98, who just says, "What's up?" and votes first.
So she didn't even have like a note or anything from her parents?
No, nothing like that at all. Nope.
Blimey. Okay.
But the rankers, you know, they can do what they like, us. They're intelligent, clever, generally exciting people, I'm sure.
Strong, independent adults.
Maybe she was doing something cool. And then let's start here. Why not? Tough choice this week, says Kern, but went for squirrel because bear. Thank you, Kern.
Yeah.
And then Ohio just says Clydesdales and also votes for me. Clydesdales in big letters. Thanks, Ohio. Right, that's all the comments for me. Let's get on to the rest. Both great lists and tough to choose between them. Hearst just edges it with the inclusion of the Milky Way advert. Still find myself singing that now and again. One thing this did make me realise is how many great adverts there were for shit beer. The Carling Black Label ones, Castlemaine 4X, Austin Pills, Carlsberg Bud, etc. Some absolute classics, says JB. Thanks, JB.
True story.
Another vote for Hearst. This one just says, in angle brackets, comments blocked by AdGuard. And that's from Davpaz. Thanks, Davpaz. Another vote for Hearst. The comment says, just because. That's it. That's the entire thing. Don't forget to put your names on these rankers. Or don't if you want to be anonymous. But bear in mind that we don't magically know who you are. Love the list. So many cracking adverts flying about and still loads missed. Growing up in Accrington, the bias is fully applied. So Hearst takes it. Cheers, Cobb. Brackets. Cadbury's Gorilla is the best ofs. Close brackets. Do you want to do the impression? Go ahead, do the impression.
Ugh, milk.
Yeah, apparently when Carly was listening to it on the train, she snorted into her drink and everyone stared at her when we were doing our rendition of Accrington Stanley. So,
brilliant.
Job done.
Brilliant. I hope she told everyone why she was snorting into her drink, because she's listening to this new funky, fresh podcast.
Made them all sign up to listen to it. Made them wear pledge rings.
We should get pledge rings. I vote for her. Well, they're all votes for hers now. Damn, this is possibly the hardest one yet. Giggity. Both excellent lists with a single weaker outlier. First delivery and red car, blue car apparently are the weaker outliers from our lists. Even if I were to use the worst to swing it, yes, I know I'm not allowed to. You both had excellent worst ads. Ultimately, I think hers gets it because What's Up was so iconic, it beats all. From Moneyslinger, P.S. Can I use a coin toss to pick the ABBA winner? Like, why the hell is that even in the list? Preaching to the choir, Buddy Slinger.
Absolutely. Amen, sir.
Your reenactment of Accrington Stanley had me in stitches. The Milky Way advert is so much better than an actual Milky Way. Fully agree. Both excellent adverts. Keep up the good work. From Katie, brackets. More punctuation added in this week's comment so as to save confusion in who should keep up the good work. Ah, thanks, Katie. There you are.
Yeah.
I like milk, says Honora. Thanks, Honora. And finally, milk is the real winner here. Go team milk from Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous.
You mean go team milk?
Yeah. So, like I said, a couple of things happened this week, Hearst. The first, as the statistician, maybe you can tell us, have I taken an absolute kicking before?
I don't think so. No, I've taken a couple.
I've never had an absolute shoeing, and maybe I still haven't, but the other thing that's happened is that I obviously have come in second place with 24 votes. Hearst, you are
Holy
the winner.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah, Hearst, you are the winner with 39 votes.
What
Something
happened
has
last
happened.
Week?
I don't know. I don't know how many people Katie told.
Wow. That's wild. That's got to be a record. I know we did have a big voting week once, but I don't think it was that big. I'll have to go back through some of the old ones.
No, nor do I. Yeah, this has been a big jump up. So thanks.
Wow.
Hello, new rankers.
Thanks, guys. And if this is all you're doing, Patreon Katie, then bravo.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see how next week goes. In fact, if this continues next week,
we will probably slide you a member hub.
Yeah, member hub, like temporary visa for 3 months.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, welcome, new rankers. Strap in. Some musical excellence with ABBA. Are you ready to get ranking, Hearst?
I am.
No, you are not. You are not ready to get ranking because you need to tell us the top five adverts.
Here at number five, Old Spice with The Man Your Man Could Smell Like. Number four, Milky Way and The Red Car and The Blue Car. Number three is Tango with the You've Been Tangled. campaign. Number 2, Winner by Budweiser. And in at number 1, by the Milk Marketing Board,
I'm from Star Wars.
Who are they?
Excellent, good job. It is official.
No, I'm happy.
Great adverts. Every one of them, I think, that we mentioned were good.
Well, that was a good one. I really enjoyed that week.
Yeah. Do you want to get on to this week? Yes, I'm going to flip the coin of destiny.
Nice.
Heads first.
Have you taken the blue tack off?
Yeah, it's gone back to normal now. Non-Patreons, I don't think, will know what we're talking about, but there we are.
You better cough up a pound if you want to know about that, Injik.
Whole pound.
Right.
Let's go.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a slog, and I did go through the albums, and on the whole, the ones that were famous were the best of a bad bunch. But there were a couple that caught my interest along the way and either made or nearly made the list. But number 5, I've gone with Dancing Queen from the album Arrival 1976. Basically, I chose this one because it reminds me of every single wedding and every single disco that's ever happened in the UK, ever. Mostly, I was drunk and happy when I listened to it, so it's probably a Pavlovian response rather than a genuine belief that it's a good song. Sure it is, isn't it? Or not? Oh, I don't really know, but I like it. So, number 5, Dancing Queen.
All right. Notable as well because Bjorn played guitar on Dancing Queen, and although he shows up in a lot of the videos looking like he plays the guitar, he didn't often in the actual songs. Yes, a staple of UK weddings, a staple of UK discos for people over a certain age, and as someone who used to be a DJ who did that kind of thing, fucking hate Dancing Queen. It can die.
I bet you used it to get people on the floor, didn't you?
Well, people would always ask for it. So I'd be like, yeah, fine, yeah, fuck it, whatever. Dancing Queen's just, It's not a bad song. I'm well aware it's not a bad song. I've heard it so many times that I just cannot with that anymore.
Yeah, now I can see why that would hurt you.
Cool. But still, I understand why it's there. My number 5 is the very long titled Gimme! Exclamation point, Gimme! Exclamation point, Gimme! Exclamation point, brackets, A Man After Midnight, close brackets.
Nice.
Yep, Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight is from October 1979. Written by Benny and Bjorn, like nearly all of them were, from the Voulez-Vous album. And in the UK, it reached number 3. It was their highest ranking song that didn't get to number 1 in the UK charts. It's a fun song. It's a horny song. A lot of ABBA songs are quite horny, is something I discovered while actually listening to them. It is about wanting someone to come over and give them some because they are lonely and watching TV at night. And it's fun. And yeah, all that, right?
Gimme, gimme, gimme a man after midnight. Want somebody to help me chase and shine.
It's an all right song. Madonna sampled it for Hung Up, of course, which we all know, so it's got a durable old hook.
Yeah, they didn't typically let people sample their songs. That was a very rare one, wasn't it?
I don't know.
That's what I read.
All right, cool. Number 5. Gimme, gimme, gimme brackets, A Man After Midnight, close brackets.
Excellent. My number 4, I battled with a little bit. I had a few popping in and out, some that were album tracks, some that weren't, but ultimately, after I'd listened to them more times than I ever care to again in my life, I've landed on Mamma Mia from the ABBA album 1975. probably the defining hit for ABBA. Lyrically, the song captures the emotional push and pull of a toxic romance. It's classic ABBA storytelling, heartbreak delivered with upbeat, irritatingly catchy pop. Initially, the band weren't actually convinced the song would be a hit, and it was only after performing on Australian television that the response was so overwhelming the record label rushed it out as a single. It became a number one hit in multiple countries, so yeah, that was lucky for them, because obviously there's now a stage show, there's two movies, all sorts, all named after Mamma Mia. Big hit, absolute classic ABBA, number four, Mamma Mia.
Sound the horn. At my number four is Mamma Mia by ABBA. Let me cover the stuff you missed, Hurst. It is the first of ABBA's UK number one since Waterloo.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
That's it. Number four, Mamma Mia. Hurst said basically everything I was going to say, including the Australian shit.
That was the thing that really cemented their fame after Eurovision, because they were quite a big band in Sweden, but it was Eurovision that sent stratospheric. I also read that it was partly their performance and the whole showmanship of it that changed Eurovision. They went from what it used to be to turning it to what it is now, so they've got a lot to answer for.
And I do like a Eurovision, so thanks for that, Benny Bjorn. Aggie, what the fuck were the other two called? Benny Bjorn and their wives.
We'll call it Agnetha.
How to pronounce their names? We don't even want to get onto the fucking surnames, right?
No.
Fautskog Ulveus.
Fautskog. Right. So, yes, very good. Both of us, Mamma Mia at number four. That seems like that's a lock then for the official world rankings at number four.
Can we do it again? Let's find out.
We can't, because at number three, I have Gimme, Gimme, Gimme from the Voulez Vous album that came out November 78. Which was incidentally when I was born. Tongue-in-cheek song about the lonely woman in her flat watching late-night TV, longing for a romantic connection to chase the shadows away. Absolutely killer intro. Decent funk chops as well, actually. I noticed the songs I tended to like most had some real funk sort of bass and a bit of a driving beat to them. Pure late-night disco drama.
Oh yeah, that session bass is good work.
Actually quite a lot to like, not just pure nostalgia. I found that Gimme, Gimme, Gimme I was okay with.
Fair enough. So yeah, can't match this time, and this would be a good horn if we did match, because I have chosen from the Voulez Vous album, Lovers, brackets, Live a Little Longer, close brackets. So this is not on any of their greatest hits albums. This is one of the more obscure ABBA songs, if there is such a thing, though. It's all about people in love live longer. This is scientific fact, I believe. Although I believe it's only scientific fact for men. Women tend to live less long. But I suspect when ABBA heard this news in 1979, that small part of it was admitted, right? Because who cared?
Plus the guys were writing the songs.
Plus the guys were writing the songs.
It is a very different song to their normal sound. It is a lot more... It reminded me of some of the Spice Girls songs. That's what I was thinking about when I heard it. It is a very modern-sounding song, and it certainly didn't change civilization like some of the other ABBA songs did, but it is still incredibly polished, like all of their songs are. Their production values, which I'll talk about a bit later, are just superb. But it was different, and I think I was fucking craving different by the time I went through them all for the second time, and that's what made it stand out to me. And I was like, yes, this goes on the list. Can't even remember noticing it the first time around, but second time around I'm like, oh my god, this is actually just not generic saturated in my ears. Get on my list.
Absolutely. It's good stuff. I did find that actually as I went through the albums, there were attempts to evolve, but they almost always end up, they'd come up with like a really interesting new intro. You think, oh yeah, yeah. And then it would basically just turn into an ABBA song.
Straight back into, yeah, yeah.
Happened an awful lot. The album, 1977, I made a couple of more experimental with hints of things like Queen, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Fleetwood Mac influences. My notes, a less tiresome overall listen. So high praise for the 1977 album, The Album.
The Album, yes.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm glad you've gone for an album track in there for your number three.
Oh, Christ, keep listening.
Because my number two, I have done exactly the same with the song My Mama Said from the Waterloo album, 1973, right at the beginning. Leans far more into funk and groove than the bright Europop they're more famous for. Around a thick bass line, rhythmic piano, giving it a laid-back, almost American funk feel. It's one of the rare ABBA songs where the groove does most of the work rather than the vocal melodies. Bass riff is aces, breaking down into a great little guitar jazz solo on 2 minutes. Legitimately a really good song. Probably won't go down very well with the rankers on account of it being an album track from 73. Most of them have probably never heard of it, but I would actually urge people to listen to it because it is a good song and might even bother some of my personal playlists now because I just love the groove of it. So yeah, that was my number two, and My Mama Said.
There we go. And it was a good one. That was on my shortlist. You're quite right. It's just an all right song. And that is, you know, again, it was like a, not an amuse-bouche. What do they call it? A palate cleanser. It was like a palate cleanser, yeah, between all the other stuff, right?
Cheeky little lemon sorbet.
Much like my number two. And if you think your number two, Hurst, is possibly going to alienate you from the rankers who only listen to the Greatest Hits album, my number two is Intermezzo number one, ABBA's only instrumental song.
Wow. Nice.
Fucking weird, and I like it. It's a weird intermission track. It's still like 4 minutes long, maybe 3.5.
Which album is it from?
It is from 75, the ABBA album.
Right, yeah.
And it's listed in the credits as Intermezzo number one featuring Benny Anderson. I think it's just, it was like, fucking Benny's gone a bit mad, let's let him cook. And it's strange, and it's nothing like an ABBA sound. It is like an overture of many movie themes, maybe. I don't know, but not real movie themes. It's just slammed together in a way that made me think of War of the Worlds by Jeff Bridges, War of the Worlds?
No, Jeff Wayne, that's it.
And if it's not right, I'll just dub myself saying the correct thing afterward.
Nice.
And yeah, it was a weird thing. I don't know why it's on the album. They never did it ever again. But it kind of goes to show that they could be good musicians or they could write good music. Benny did play the piano quite a lot, but I think obviously a lot of their actual music was from session musicians and in post-production. But it was well arranged. It was flamboyant is a word I wrote down, Hurst. And it's not a great fit for a best ever list, but at least, you know, I listened to the fucking songs. Fuck off.
You didn't, rankers.
That's the thing. First, I think the rankers sometimes forget what we put ourselves through for their,
that's it.
For their listening
that
pleasure.
Is it. It was the B-side of Mamma Mia in some countries, Hurst, as well. So there you are. Number four for us. Flip it over, you get my number two.
Yeah, it's funny. They did try some experimental stuff. And as I was listening to the 1980 album, The Visitors, my only notes were weird and experimental.
Mm.
They sounded more and more like they were writing for a West End musical as it went on. It seemed to completely lack any of the Europop bit by that point. And I think at that point, they needed to not really alienate their fans and just stick with what had been working for them, because yeah, I don't think much happened after that. Maybe one more album was, oh no, that was it. It wasn't the last one, The Visitors, until 2021. Voyage. So
yeah, it was, there was nothing good on that album.
Speaking of which,
it's time for the worst, Hurst.
So the worst was, you know, it was an embarrassment of riches, really, wasn't it?
There was
take
several.
A pick, throw a dart at the dartboard.
Mm.
From the first album, there was Love Isn't Easy with the lyrics, I bought you dresses. There's me and Bobby's brother, Merry Go Round. I also threw Ring Ring into the mix because it wasn't a dreadful song, but it was the album song from the first album, which they used twice, including a Swedish one, and then threw in the second album. It's like, it's not that good of a song. Why are you making me listen to it more?
They had the Swedish version, the English version, and then the American version. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Absolute bullshit.
Because Americans needed their own version. No, they just wanted to spaff it out again. They loved that song. I don't.
Yeah, I just,
you can't make
why?
It good by putting it on that many times. Then 1978, Does Your Mother Know? The reason, basically, that the guys don't sing lead. Status Quo meets the Bee Gees, then gets drunk and can't sing. That was my notes on that. Chiquitita, which blatantly is Chicken Tikka when they sing it. You're taking the piss at that. Ultimately, I chose from the 1979 album Super Trooper a song called The Piper. Absolute balls. Totally phoning it in, basically assuming nobody's even listening anymore by track 8. Trying to do Beatles lyrics in a woodland dell, skipping around a campfire, playing the recorder in 60s hippie tie-dye. Utter toss. Dreadful song. That's the worst. One of them anyway.
No, I disagree, Hurst. I disagree.
What's even worse than that?
From the 1974 Waterloo album, pretty sure someone lost a fucking bet when they put King Kong's song onto a fucking album. Band itself has tried to fucking bury it. Like they pretend it doesn't exist. They don't like it at all. It's about King Kong. It's about the movie King Kong and watching King Kong and about fucking, why are they singing about a gorilla? And fucking sounds like a children's TV theme done while they were drunk. Hey, hang on a minute. There's some correlation here. Maybe they were just smashed a lot of the time. Kong song is a bad song about a ridiculous thing that is just strange.
Yeah, having a quick nose into Google's for what's the number one best ABBA song is to the winner takes
right
it
down there. From
oh, right,
King Kong song.
Album 1979.
What else do they think?
Oh, I can't remember, but that one stuck out. I went away with it. The Piper annoyed me so much. Stop it. Just stop it. It's 1979, not 1965.
All right. So we're done with the worst hearse. So what's the first hearse?
Number one, best ABBA song is The Winner Takes It All from Super Trooper album 1979. Written by band members Benny and Bjorn, sung by Agnetha. Written after Bjorn and Agnetha's divorce, The Winner Takes It All is a melancholic piano-driven ballad about the emotional wreckage of a breakup. It steps away from the relentless, polished, upbeat pop that riddles the ABBA back catalogue and delivers a refined vocal, moving from a restrained sadness as it starts to a full-throated anguish. It's legitimately a good song. If only they'd all been this good, ABBA might have done quite well.
Yeah, they might have been successful. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Okay. No, I genuinely, it is a beautiful song. The vocal's fantastic. I think they just decided to let Agnetha go at that one. But, you know, brutal. Written just after Bjorn's divorce and that song comes out. You can imagine how emotionally charged it was. Which leads me nicely on to my fact and estimated fact.
Excellent.
Fact, when recording The Winner Takes It All, singer Agnetha Fältskog recorded the final vocal in a single take. The performance was so emotionally charged that the band reportedly left the studio silently afterwards and didn't regroup to finish the album for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Fact, despite how autobiographical it sounds, Bjorn has repeatedly insisted the lyrics were not about his divorce from Agnetha, claiming he simply used his own experience to help write a convincing story. His only experience of fucking divorce.
Well, exactly. Then it was about that. He can deny it all he likes.
That's what he says. He says it wasn't.
See, I reckon he would say it wasn't. And I'm sticking with it. That is the lie. I mean, that is the fact. He said, fucking Jesus, I'm never going to bother to re-record this. That one's true.
It is absolutely true. He has repeatedly insisted that the lyrics weren't about his divorce. But yeah, I like the lie because just listening to it, it was haunting. And but wow, this is a raw song. It was nice, a nice difference from the others. Even though it's very famous, obviously it did very well. Went to number one as well, I believe. But it was, yeah, it's a nice song. Well, it's not a nice song, it's a terribly sad song. Beautifully sung, well written. And as with all ABBA, you can't take away from them. The production is spectacular, really good, really polished.
Just stunning. Yeah.
But songs were just a bit naff.
That's fair. No, it's a good song, but ain't no way I'm choosing a fucking ballad for my number one. It's going to be a banger, and that banger is going to be the banger that put them on the mother flipping map first. It's going to be... Because it is just great. I don't like ABBA. I have made no secret of this. Fucking like this song. It's cracking. I completely believe that this is what changed Eurovision because this is a Eurovision song fucking through and through. It is basically the template for the perfect Eurovision song. It's catchy. It's about bollocks. And you can't get it out of your head for a million years. And it's stupid and it's ridiculous. And you can imagine people wearing sequins singing it. It's just a great song. The first line, my, my, at Waterloo, Napoleon did surrender. No, he didn't. He went back to France and abdicated. Bullshit, ever. Learn your history. But apart from that...
Can you let history get in the way of a good story? Come on now.
Well, that's true. And it wasn't, of course, about Napoleon himself. It was a metaphor for the fact that she was being conquered. Oh, no, sorry. Because it's the guys that write. I'm not sure, actually, and I didn't think to look it up, but now I think about it, I'm not sure who wrote this one, because obviously Eurovision, maybe they had different writers.
Benny and Bjorn, 100%.
It would have been Benny and Bjorn if it was Benny and Bjorn doing the singing. This was their first hit. This is their first UK number one. It was one of the first times they'd sung in English, because I believe the rules said in Eurovision at the time you had to sing in English, which is just fucking typical of people, like English people.
Well, just as well they did, because they probably wouldn't have gone on for such global success otherwise.
Legitimately. And that's part of the reason I chose it. I think it is the song that put them on the map as just something huge. And it's worth mentioning, they were fucking enormous. Like, they've had over 1 billion streams. They get some sort of award for that. They've sold around about 400 million records worldwide, although that's tricky because the keeping of records wasn't very good back in the days when ABBA were around. They're certainly the best-selling Swedish band. They're probably the best-selling continental Europe band. They're one of the best-selling bands that doesn't perform in their native language. They had 8 consecutive number one albums in the UK. They were just generationally big, probably even more so than the Spice Girls.
I mean, that is a big claim. I mean, they had a longer lifespan, obviously, by a long way, but
well, they did.
In those 5 years, the whole world was basically Spice World.
This is true. This is true. But doesn't change the fact that Waterloo is my number one song. Everyone wants to hear Dancing Queen at the party. Waterloo is a far better party song. So there you are. Would you like a fact, an estimated fact, about the song Waterloo?
I really would.
All right. It was the first ABBA single released under the name ABBA rather than the original name Bjorn, Benny, Agatha and Frida. Or Agnina Frida. That's not a part of the fact. It's just that I can't say. B, in the accompanying music video, Tom Cruise was offered the role of Napoleon, but turned it down to focus on being 9 years old.
No, I'm not falling for it this time, because I know at 9 years old, he was recording Reacher, wasn't he? So he wouldn't have been anywhere near this.
Yes, yes. Reach Jacker.
For once, I'm not going to go with it, because after you said the first one, I thought, yeah, I think that's right. I'm pretty sure that they did have to shorten it to the much more sensible ABBA.
Which is, of course, their initials.
Yeah.
And yes, you are entirely correct. Waterloo was the first song by ABBA, potentially, and put them on the map. And there we are. Dust our hands of it, Hurst. We are done with ABBA.
I'm not surprised that someone out there liked them enough to want to put it on the wheel, but that was a slog.
So there
not
you
like
are,
a three-album slog either. Not like a Spice Girls three-album. It's a brutal trawl.
Oh, what other bands have we got on the wheel? I know we've got Girls Aloud.
We have got Girls Aloud.
I think that's the only other band. If you're going to put a band on the wheel, Rankers, make it a band who had quite a tight tweet list. Or make it so big that we couldn't possibly listen to it all.
Yeah. A really good band, or a band with no more than 3 albums.
That's right, yes. There we are. Well, speaking about next week, Hurst, shall we find out what we're doing?
Let's do it. Spin the wheel.
Off it goes. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
That's
just in smells.
Smells.
Smells and really long movies. We have got smells. The top 5 smells. Fairly sure that was from Dav Paz. Thanks, I guess, Dav Paz. We're off to smell everything that exists for our research for the next episode.
Yeah. Just be getting down to sniffing things.
So please line up, everyone.
Who smells best? Which ranker smells the best?
Smells. It is indeed Dav Paz. Thank you, Dav Paz, for that, I guess.
And the nice thing about smells is it's completely different to anything else we've done. It's not films, music, television, or anything. Smells is out there as something new. And it's going to make us think about what brings us joy. And just as spring's kicking in and all the best smells are happening.
All right, there you are. Yeah, it's not something we're going to really research, and I don't think it's something that we can research our choices to either, really, besides talking about why we like that smell and failing
miserably. Exactly. It's just something to make us think. It's a philosophical question for us.
Okay.
What smells great, and why does it smell great?
Napalm in the morning.
Yeah, toothpaste, fresh parchment, freshly mown grass, Hermione Granger.
But hang on.
No, she goes to a potions class. There's a love potion which smells different to different people depending on what attracts them. She likes fresh parchment, freshly mown grass and toothpaste. So her parents are dentists, you see.
Wouldn't that be an excellent thing for us to have for this next episode? We could just sniff it and there's our list.
Yeah. Amortentia, it's called. Wow, that's a nerd, isn't it?
Oh, fuck. Oh, jeez. Oh, you're the Harry Potter Malk.
I am absolutely the Harry Potter Malk.
Oh, mate.
Sadly, it's the thing I think I know most about.
Ooh. Well, there we are.
I would Malk off against anyone when it came to Harry Potter, I reckon.
Interesting challenge there. Perhaps potentially for a Patreon-only episode, we could bring in our first guest and I could concoct a Harry Potter trivia game.
I love it.
Rankers. If you know shit about Harry Potter, if you know more than Hearst does,
you don't.
Get in touch. Hello at top5faceoff.co.uk or directly if you know us, and you can take Hearst on in an exciting prize-filled asterisk game of who knows most Potters or something. We'll workshop the title. Potter Malks. I like Potter Malks.
Potter Malks. Mm. Yes, Potter Malks will do. That can be a Patreon special.
Who is the Potter Malk? There can only be one. Potter Malk. All right. So,
got to do a quick shout out to our official sponsor hub.
We're on the fucking home straight after a mere hour of recording, Hearst. What the fuck?
We've not got better. We just got quicker.
Lovely rankers. Here we are at the end of our show. Thank you very much for listening. We always need to mention some stuff. You can find us all over the internet on various social media sites. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/top5faceoff, where you can become a member and put things on the wheel that make us hate you. Please don't do that. But you also get some really cool Patreon-only episodes. So what did we do most recently, Hearst?
We did the Valentine's special.
We did our Valentine's special, which is probably enough said about our Valentine's special. But if you want to hear that, just join up to our Patreon now and you'll hear that and all the back catalogue of our Patreon specials, a couple of other things that only our Patreons have. And of course, you'll be able to put things on the wheel. Or for £5 a month, Hearst, you can get your name read out in every episode just like this.
Dav Paz, Gaz Chap, Goddess Jasmine and Kovach, our absolute favourite Patreons. We love you guys so much.
Thank you very much. And yeah, Hearst, I had a wall, but it was a bit dull. Maybe I could hang something on it. Maybe even a painting. Where could I get one of those? I'm an idiot. Help me out.
You should definitely go to doghouseart.co.uk, where I've finally got things up and running. I managed to get an order that went through the system. I even applied a discount code. Now, I don't want to be too beggy here, but fuck me and my poor at the minute. So, yeah, if you do want to go on there, I'm going to go and set up a discount code on now called The Facts Are Exact to get you 30% off. And if you want to go and buy something, have at it.
The facts are exact. Excellent. So they put that in at the end. Did they put spaces in?
No, just all one word. The facts are exact.
Other than that, rankers, thank you very much for listening. And please remember to rewind this podcast for the next people to come along. We will see you next episode for smells.
See you later then, rankers. Love you.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hearst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
But what about the movies?
Movies is all right. It gets movies a bit confusing because they change some stuff around, but we can do movies as well. Why not give everyone else a chance?
Is that right? Oh, it's fucking fighting words. Are we still recording? Yes. All right, that's in an outtake. It's fighting words. I have to remember that's there.
And in at number one by the Milk Marketing Board.
Clinton Stanley.
Who are they? He just sounded like Gollum. Not my precious at number one.
Some musical excellence with ABBA. Are you ready to get ranking, Hearst?
I am.
No, you are not. You are not ready to get ranking because you need to tell us the top 5 adverts.
Oh, of course, there's no music, is there?
Were you waiting for the music? Do you want to play it on my phone? What the hell?
Take me away from the music.
You can get your name read out in every episode just like this.
Sorry, I was trying to multitask and that failed miserably. Yeah, toothpaste, fresh parchment, freshly mown grass, Hermione Granger. Off of Half-Blood Prince.
Is that when she was old enough?
Slughorn's potion session, and it's a love potion. Anyway, we're not going to keep this. And let's press
Hurst
on.
Hurst is nerding out over children that he wants to sniff at.
What's steady on?
You started it.
It's completely not what happened.
I haven't seen the movies. I don't know. I thought you just wanted to sniff on her.
I said these are the things that she likes, and you went to Hurst wants to sniff children.
I thought you were listening to things that you liked. I apologise. We're on the fucking home straight after a mere hour of recording, Hurst. What the fuck?
We've not got better, we just got quicker.
Title of your sex tape.
I'm all right with that.
Tom Cruise, maybe at 9 years old, Napoleon was famously fairly short, was he not? So maybe that would have been useful.
I mean, I suppose he could have been, yeah.
I think the bigger reason was there's no way they would have had a music video back in 1974.
Like, yeah, that's true.
I don't think they were really over.
That's true.
That's just boring. Cut that out. Off it goes. Right.
ABBA songs.
ABBA songs. We've got to do it all again. I took that off the wheel.
Apparently it wants to be done again.
All right, now it's gone. Right.
Some just a sick quick joke. Refresh.
Fucking hell. Should I spin the wheel, Hurst?
What are the chances?
We will see you next episode for Smells.
There we go. Smells it is.
You do the last bit, Hurst, not me.
All right. See you later then, Rankers. Love you.